and welcome to the Savvy Prospector Program. This is a program that can change your life if you commit to it. It's designed to be completed in as little as 8 weeks, but it doesn't really matter if it takes you only 8 weeks or as long as 8 months to get through. You should start to see results almost immediately, and you'll continue to see results throughout the rest of your career. The goal of the Savvy Prospector Program is to forever change the way you approach your business building efforts, so that attracting business to you is about as natural as breathing. I'm Jennifer Allen. I created the Savvy Prospector Program, and I'll be leading you through it. Let me tell you a little bit about my career and how I came to be here today, teaching you about savvy prospecting. I got my real estate license in August of 1996. Like many new agents, I didn't know much about the business of selling real estate. I just knew I liked looking at houses. I also really liked the idea of buying investment property for myself and getting the commission. That's about as much thought as I'd given to the specifics of my new real estate career. So when my first broker informed me that I would be expected to drum up my own business and that the best way to do that was to call strangers on the phone and knock on my neighbors' doors and ask if they knew anyone who needed a real estate agent, I got a little worried. Believe it or not, it hadn't really occurred to me yet that I was going to have to find my own business. But I did suspect that if my success depended on cold calling or door knocking, I was probably in trouble. Because there's something you need to know about me. I'm not a natural salesperson by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not even all that friendly unless you know me well. And don't get me wrong, I do have friends, but I struggle in social networking situations, and frankly, I tend to avoid them. But surprisingly, maybe, I had a very successful real estate career despite my lack of natural sales ability. I was the Rookie of the Year runner-up my first year, and the top agent in my office several years after that. I qualified for the RE/MAX Platinum Club, and I'm a member of the RE/MAX Hall of Fame. During a 2-year sabbatical from real estate sales, I wrote 6 books about the art of selling real estate, I created 4 online classes that are approved for continuing education, and I've trained hundreds of real estate agents, new and experienced alike. Not bad for an introvert, huh? The secret to my success in real estate isn't that I'm a power prospector. No, it's that I'm very good at getting hired by my friends, getting referred by my friends, and inspiring the people I meet to care about my real estate business, even though I was and I am a classic introvert. I never cold called or door knocked. I rarely advertise or farm, and I've never pursued for sale by owners. In short, I've never overtly prospected for business, but I've always had plenty of business. Here's what my business looks like today, and what it's looked like for many years now. My phone rings, I answer it, and I have a great new client. Swear to God, that's the way most of my business comes in. I do almost no formal prospecting, and I have a marketing budget of pretty much zero. I rarely work more than 30 hours a week, but since I don't prospect, all 30 of those hours are spent serving my current clients, which, as you will see, is a big part of being a savvy prospector. Do I sell 100 homes a year? No, I don't. Is it possible to sell that many homes using the philosophies and methods I'm going to teach you? Actually, I'm not sure that it is, at least not without sacrificing more than you might be willing to. But if you end up with just as much money in your pocket selling half that many homes and maintaining an enjoyable lifestyle, would that be acceptable to you? Just something to think about. All right, let's talk about what savvy prospecting really means. What is a savvy prospector? Well, I'm glad you asked. You're a savvy prospector if you use the brains God gave you to build your business. You don't rely on outdated prospecting methods and strategies if they don't ring true to you. If a prospecting strategy wouldn't work on you, you don't subject anyone else to it. You use your natural intelligence, your natural intuition, your natural instincts, and your natural inclinations to create a prospecting strategy that, well, feels natural to you. You don't try to be someone you aren't in order to be successful. Why? Because it's just common sense that the more true you stay to your own personality, the more successful your efforts will be. A savvy prospector treats others the way he or she would like to be treated. You know, the good old golden rule? Again, not just because it's the nice thing to do, but because it's a much more effective method of generating repeat business and referrals. If you don't like to be cold called, you won't cold call others. If you don't appreciate aggressive closing techniques used on you, you won't use them on others. If you get irritated when your friend continually pesters you for business to her, say, Pampered Chef business, you won't pester her for referrals to your real estate business. Again, it's basic courtesy, and it's common sense. But there's more, there's so much more. A savvy prospector knows that the very best source of future business is to have lots of satisfied past clients. So she devotes the majority of her working hours toward keeping her current clients happy so that they become satisfied past clients. She knows that going above and beyond for her buyers, sellers, and prospects will win her big brownie points for the future that will result in business knocking on the door without a whole lot of effort on her part. A savvy prospector knows his market, and he's able to speak intelligently about it to friends and not yet friends when the opportunity presents itself. He knows his systems and his contracts. He's a good negotiator. He's a good problem solver and a good communicator. In short, he's a darn good real estate agent, and he's proud of that fact. Last, but not even close to least, a savvy prospector stays in touch with her friends and acquaintances without sales pitching them to death. She makes sure that everyone she knows her, and knows that she sells real estate, but beyond that, she's a friend first. Or, if not a friend, a reasonably competent human being who never pesters anyone for business. She exudes an air of confidence so that the people she knows and the people she meets assume she's as successful as she wants to be, and they're attracted to her and her business, without her ever asking them to be. Sound good? Would you like to learn to be a savvy prospector? Then let's get to it. There's a term we'll use a lot around the Savvy Prospector program, so let's define it up front. Sphere of Influence, or SOI. This is a somewhat real estate industry-specific term, which loosely refers to the people we know. If I were to go around the room today and ask everyone for a more specific definition of sphere of influence, the most common answers would probably be either everyone I know or my friends, family, and past clients. Unfortunately, these common definitions can actually lead a real estate agent off course. So to contrast, my definition of SOI is everyone who knows you and knows that you sell real estate. Let me say that again. Everyone who knows you and knows that you sell real estate. Let me explain the difference. When we real estate agents talk about our sphere of influence, we're talking about people we hope will generate real estate business for us, either directly when they buy or sell a home, or indirectly with their referrals. Which implies, of course, that our SOI actually knows or remembers that we sell real estate. But they probably don't. Most of the people in our lives aren't keeping track of us on a daily basis, and if you haven't recently reminded the people you know that you sell real estate, they've almost certainly forgotten. So even if you know 250 people, but only 15 of them know or remember that you sell real estate, your sphere of influence, from a business perspective at least, is limited to those 15. On the flip side, to say that your SOI is only your friends, family, and past clients is too limiting. I mean, a new agent may only have 10 friends, one brother, and of course no past clients because he's new, so does that mean he only has 11 people he could include in his sphere of influence? Well, probably not. Unless he just got to town yesterday, he probably knows a whole lot more people than that, and every one of those people has the potential to generate business for him. Not all will, of course, but you never know who your biggest fan will end up being. It might be your best friend, but then again, it might be your mailman. So remember, your sphere of influence is everyone who knows you and knows that you sell real estate. Because it doesn't matter how many people you know, what matters is how many people know you and know that you sell real estate. And that's one of our major projects in the Savvy Prospector program, getting back in touch with everyone you know with the goal of reminding them who you are and that you sell real estate for a living. You're probably already familiar with the traditional methods of prospecting to a sphere of influence, sending them postcards and newsletters, calling them up every few months to remind them that you love referrals, dropping off little gifts and trinkets with a smile in your sales pitch. And these methods have worked for some, but many real estate agents have been disappointed in the results they've seen from their prospecting efforts and have come to the conclusion that marketing to my sphere of influence doesn't work. And they're right. Marketing to your sphere of influence doesn't work. However, your SOI is a goldmine of business for you if you approach them right. Approach them wrong, and your efforts will probably fail, and you may even jeopardize the personal relationships in your life. We're going to teach you how to do it right. Many agents who are interested in implementing an SOI business model initially try to simply apply the prospecting methods they learned for marketing to strangers to their sphere of influence. In other words, they think that an SOI model means they're supposed to cold call and mass mail to the people they know, thinking that they'll see a higher rate of return from their efforts because the people they know already care about them, whereas strangers don't. And on the surface, this makes sense. After all, if you got, say, a football schedule postcard from a total stranger, it's probably much more likely to end up in the trash than if you received the same postcard from someone you know. Or, if you call up your friends on a regular basis and remind them that you love referrals, you might assume that they will be more receptive to such calls than a stranger would be. Unfortunately, that's not the way we human beings are wired. Implementing a successful sphere of influence business model takes a deeper understanding and acknowledgement of human nature. In general, people really don't like to be prospected to, not even by their friends. As much as we hope that our friends will be supportive of our real estate businesses, they won't be if we give them the impression that we see them as simply another warm body to assault with our sales pitch. So, please lose the idea that working your sphere means prospecting to your sphere. Yes, you can work your sphere and see amazing results if you do it respectfully, but if you simply prospect to your sphere, you can actually damage the personal relationships in your life, which of course is not good for your business or your social life. So what should you do instead? Well, it's not rocket science, and a lot of it is common sense, but it's surprisingly difficult for us real estate agents to break away from the training we've received on how to best generate business for ourselves. We're trained to ask for business on a regular basis. We're trained to remind everyone we know how much we love referrals. We're trained to hand out our business cards at parties and to be ready at all times with an elevator speech for those opportunities when we meet a stranger. For the duration of the Savvy Prospector program, I'm going to ask you to forget all this stuff and open your mind to a new way to inspire the people you know and the people you meet to think of you as their favorite real estate agent. The secret to running a successful SOI-based business is to be a great real estate agent who loves her job and knows her market and stays in touch with the people she knows without ever pestering them for business or referrals. That's it. That's the secret. To be a great real estate agent who loves her job and knows her market and stays in touch with the people she knows without ever pestering them for business or referrals. Let's go through these one by one. Being a great real estate agent. Now this is huge. And when I say that you need to be a great real estate agent, I don't mean that you need to be a great real estate prospector, even though that's what most of our training tends to imply. I mean that you take great care of your clients as your first priority, not as an afterthought when your prospecting is done. Doing business this way helps you on so many levels. First, obviously, you'll have happy clients who will be delighted to refer you to everyone they know. But second and third, you'll be proud of the work you do and confident in the work you do, which leads us to the second requirement. You love your job. When you're good at what you do and you know it, you probably absolutely love your job. And that excitement and enthusiasm is contagious to those around you. When you're able to hold your head up high and announce that I'm a real estate agent and it's the coolest job in the whole world, people will be drawn to you. As one agent I know puts it, they want some of what you're smoking. When the topic of real estate comes up in a social setting and you're able to say those magic words, I'm a real estate agent and it's the coolest job in the whole world, people will ask you for your business card. It's beautiful. Which leads me to the third requirement. You know your market. The best way I've found to build rapport with strangers is to be a master of your market. If you know your local real estate market, and you know your local real estate market, you'll find opportunities to share that knowledge all over the place. It's amazing how much confidence this gives you, and it's pretty easy to strike up a conversation with a total stranger about real estate if you know what you're talking about. You'd be surprised how many people will ask you for your business card if you sound like an expert. I get a lot of my business this way, not because I prospect to strangers, but because I'm confident about my competence. And a big part of that is a good understanding of my market. So if you're someone who needs to build a sphere of influence from scratch, you'll probably need to spend some quality time learning your market and then putting yourself in social situations where you can share that knowledge with people who are interested. Now, the fourth requirement of a successful SOI-based business is that you stay in touch with the people you know. This, of course, is really important. If you know a whole bunch of people, but you never make any effort to have a personal conversation with them, your sphere of influence efforts will probably crash and burn. We're going to talk about this a lot in future lessons, but for now, just know that yes, if you intend to generate business and referrals from the people you know, you will need to take the time to talk to them. The last requirement for a successful SOI business model is that you never pester the people you know or the people you meet for business or referrals. This is a tough pill to swallow for many agents. We're trained to ask for business and to make sure everyone we know and everyone we meet is aware that we're desperate for business. Now, I know that's not what we say, but it's how it comes across. When we constantly or even sporadically remind the people we know that we love referrals, that sends a message that's counterproductive to your goal of actually generating referrals. Think about your own referral patterns. Do you refer to someone because you feel sorry for them, or because you think they're great at what they do? I don't believe in asking for referrals ever. I don't think it's necessary, and in most cases, it just makes the other person uncomfortable around you. If I know that someone is good at their job and I happen to have their phone number handy, I will send them referrals, even if they don't ask me to. In fact, I'd really rather they not ask me to. When my self-employed friends ask me for referrals for their businesses, it puts me on the spot and I don't like that. If they ask me twice, our friendship will suffer from it. Truth is, in most cases, asking me for a referral can have the opposite effect of what you intended. Let me give you an example. I've used the same accountant for years, and I've referred him out a lot. He's fantastic, and he's expensive, and I think he's worth it. However, a few years ago, he implemented a marketing campaign where he sent out a mass-mailed letter to all his clients, very specifically asking for referrals. Now, this surprised me, and not in a pleasant way. I was actually taken aback by it. He was so good that I figured he had plenty of business, and I actually felt a little honored to be his client. But once he sent that letter out, indicating his need for referrals, my respect for him was lowered a notch. Now, I still use him, and I still think he's great. But the damage was done when he sent out that letter, in my mind, begging for referrals. Remember, referrals are precious, not only to us, but to the people doing the referring. They want to feel that the referrals they give are to successful and competent people, because referring can be a risky business if the referral goes bad. When you always seem to be on the hunt for business, this will be perceived by the people you know as desperation, or at the very least, just a little annoying. Putting together an SOI business model takes a little focus and commitment up front, and then a period of retraining yourself to get out of prospecting mode and into relationship building mode. But once your system is in place and you've developed a strong habit, the rest will take care of itself, seriously. I found that one of the hardest mindsets for my students to overcome is the idea that socializing is working. Going out to play with your friends and having a great time is part of your job, so don't feel guilty about it. A lot of the agents I coach really have a problem with that concept at first, but of course, they get used to it after a while, especially after they see it working. The most important thing to keep in mind when you're reaching out to the people you know is to do it as a friend first, and a real estate agent second, or even third or fourth. Don't approach every social encounter hoping to hand out all your business cards. Simply make it your goal to meet some interesting people to add to your social network. If you approach your prospecting efforts this way, business will naturally follow, and you won't be taking the risk of jeopardizing your personal relationships. I'd like to digress for a moment and talk about how the way you're running your business today can dramatically affect your referral business tomorrow. When I say it out loud, it seems obvious, but I think we can all use a little reminding how important it is to always strive to be worthy of the referrals you hope to receive from the people you know. While staying in touch with the people you know is an important piece of your overall SOI strategy, there's a far more important piece that's almost always overlooked when trainers talk about building a referral-based business. As your career progresses through the years, you'll hopefully find that your past clients become a significant source of business for you, either when they themselves buy or sell down the road, or more immediately, when they happily give out your name as a referral. For me, after 12 years doing this job, nearly all my business comes directly or indirectly from people who have used my services in the past. In fact, the vast majority of my sphere of influence database is made up of past clients because at some point, just about all my friends and acquaintances have bought or sold a house and used me. Which came first? Were they a client first and then a friend, or a friend and then a client? Well, both, of course, but when I say that my SOI provides the bulk of my business, in my case, that's almost synonymous with saying that my past clients provide the bulk of my business. So why do my past clients so enthusiastically support my business? Because I write a dandy newsletter and I take them to lunch? No. It's because they think I did a good job for them. A great job, even. And that's my goal. As my website says, the clients I am honored to have today are far more important to me than the clients I hope to have tomorrow. and I mean that with all my heart. But it's not just because I'm a type A hardworking gal. It's because it's a smart way to run your business. I go above and beyond for my current clients every chance I get, and they notice. This is huge. Anything you do for a current client that impresses them will pay off big time for you in the future, and it's worth far more than any clever mailing or cheesy gift you could ever come up with. What's my point? Well, if you're new to this business and you're still working on getting some satisfied past clients, don't ever be hesitant to spend a ton of time with the prospects and clients you have today. Put off your prospecting activities if your prospect or client has a need you can fill. Return phone calls quicker than you think you need to. Do that open house, even if you don't want to. Take your buyer back to look at the same house for the third time so he can measure for curtains, even if he's not yet under contract to purchase it. Doing a great job for the clients you have is the best way to ensure business and referrals from them in the future. So here's how the Savvy Prospector program is structured. As a participant in the program, you have access to these weekly audio lessons covering all aspects of savvy prospecting. You should listen to the audios in order, as each lesson builds on the one before it. In addition to the audio portion of the program, you'll have regular assignments to complete. These assignments are described in detail in the Savvy Prospector Workbook, and you may elect to receive them to your email address. The assignments, again, come in the order in which you should complete them, as each assignment builds on the assignments you received previously. The assignments are structured so that you should never feel overwhelmed or overloaded. That is, a more intense assignment will be followed by a less intense one, with plenty of time given between major assignments. You will also receive regular blogs and articles via email that will supplement the material you are learning about in your assignments and audio recordings. The basic structure of the Savvy Prospector program looks like this. The first 4 weeks are heavily focused on putting a sphere of influence business plan together. This portion is assignment heavy, and if you want to complete it in a month, you'll probably need to spend some time every day on the program. The second 4 weeks will focus on two things. First, putting your SOI plan into action, and second, expanding your sphere of influence, your SOI, by learning how to attract strangers to you. Month two will be a little different from month one, and that will go a little deeper into philosophical concepts and prospecting, more so than the simple nuts and bolts we'll focus on in the first month. And again, this is important because we want you to be a self-sufficient prospector at the end of the course, and in order to do that, you need to have a firm understanding of why you're doing what you're doing and why it works. A ground rule we have here at the Savvy Prospector Program: your clients and prospects always come first. I forbid you to ever place prospecting above the needs of your clients or prospects. The most effective prospecting you'll ever do is to make a heck of a good impression on the people you're actually working with. If this program takes you a year to complete because you're showing houses to your buyers or doing open houses for your sellers, you have my blessing. Your clients and prospects come first. If that's all you get from this program, it was absolutely worth every penny you paid for it. Thank you for joining me today. We'll talk soon.